Muffin Talk. Kia ora and welcome to Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is a weekly radio program to which I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on social justice, Bible studies, or the community programs. Today I've invited the Honorable Priyanka Radhakrishnan, Minister for Diversity, Inclusion and Ethnic Communities, to a Zoom recording for broadcast. Priyanka, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Kia ora, Vyasi. Thank you.
Priyanka Radhakrishnan was born in India, went to school in Singapore, and then moved to New Zealand for further education. She has a Master of Development Studies from Victoria University and chose to make Aotearoa her home. She spent her work life advocating on behalf of people whose voices are often unheard, survivors of domestic violence and migrant workers who have been exploited. Priyanka, we interviewed each other on our respective radio programs on Access Radio exactly 5 years ago. You then told me that how your upbringing had a huge impact on your interest in politics and advocacy work. Today, you're a member of parliament. Do you think that you're able to contribute to positive actions on a national basis?
Yeah, thanks for that, Vyasi. Gosh, 5 years, that's gone by quite quickly. Thank you for having me on your show again. Sadly, my show didn't quite survive the 5 years. But in terms of now my contribution to change, I mean, I believe that all of us as members of parliament, regardless of which side of the house, you know, we sit on, that we come to this place to try and contribute to positive change. Now, what that change looks like will be different, and you know how we achieve it will be different as well, based on where you come from and where you sit in the house. But as an MP and now as a minister with a few different portfolios, I do believe that I am able to contribute to some change, and that is a huge privilege, really. And particularly as the Minister for Diversity, Inclusion and Ethnic Communities, I mean, we have, you know, close to 20% of New Zealand's population is made up of people who identify with an ethnic community. And we have about over 213 ethnicities represented across Aotearoa New Zealand. We collectively speak over 170 languages, belong to different faith communities, a huge amount of diversity that we have in this country. And part of my role is to look at how we make changes to ensure that our diverse communities are supported to be able to thrive. So I do feel now that we have a new ministry, we established a ministry a couple of years ago now. Yeah. I'm really bad. But we worked to, you know, collectively to ensure that the priorities of the ministry reflect what's most important for the communities that it serves. And now we're stepping through, an action plan to actually make some of those tangible changes. So we've had an office for ethnic communities for about 20 years prior to that. The shift to a ministry is powerful because you actually have a chief executive who can sit at the top tables of the public service with the CEs of some of the bigger ministries and government departments and influence change that benefits our communities. And so that's one example of some of the change that I feel that I'm able to contribute to and will keep focusing on as long as I have the privilege of the role that I have.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much. And also, I was wondering, you joined Parliament in 2017, and then in 2020, you were appointed as Minister for the Community and Voluntary Sector, Minister for Diversity, Inclusion and Ethnic Communities, Minister for Youth, and Associate Minister for Social Development and Employment. How were you able to juggle all these different portfolios, especially during the pandemic?
Yeah, it's been an interesting time. It's been a challenging time for everyone, I think, regardless of what areas we've worked in, and also juggling for many their own personal journeys and impacts that they've faced as a result of the pandemic and more recently the weather events as well. So, but really, you know, like everyone else, you step your way through the work that you need to do. And the focus then becomes on supporting the well-being of the communities or the groups that you represent in Parliament. And that has been top of mind for me. So the community and voluntary sector, as you mentioned, you know, we have across New Zealand about 100,000, over 100,000 charities. We have 28,000 of those who are registered charities. And so one of the pieces of legislation that governs, or the framework that governs that sector, registered charities, is the Charities Act. And so part of my work has been making changes to that framework to make sure that it supports particularly some of our smaller charities as well. And then, of course, during a pandemic or during a natural disaster, our community organizations are the ones that are at the forefront of the response and recovery often. So, you know, it's been then important for me to hear from them and look at what we can do as government to support them to be able to do the work that they're doing. So all of that doesn't stop. In fact, it gets exacerbated when there is an event like COVID or the floods or the cyclone that we've had more recently as well. So you kind of pivot some of the work that you're doing to address the immediate needs, but some of that ongoing work looking at the stability of the sector or the legislation that governs the sector, or long-term issues around challenges around climate change and poverty, you know, those aren't necessarily ones that sit within my portfolio specifically, but those challenges don't go away either. So, you know, you've kind of got to juggle both. Yeah, and like everyone else who does that in various different ways, we do that too.
Yeah, I think that I see that you haven't lost the connection to your roots, and that's really good. Good to hear. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, because you are now, we've met each other a few times now recently as in your role as Minister for Diversity, Inclusion and Ethnic Communities. You have already touched a little bit on this role. Can you tell us more about the role? Because you said that it's a new role as a minister, because you had the Office of Ethnic Affairs before, but maybe you can tell us a little bit more of what you're doing.
Yeah, sure. So the ministry is new, and therefore the fact that there's a chief executive who reports directly to the minister, that, you know, that piece of the puzzle is new. And it is incredibly powerful. And I might just touch on that. And actually quite a good segue from your previous question around how we operate during pandemics and things like that. I'll use an example. So when COVID hit, what was top of mind for me and for us as a government was that the crucial information that people needed to be able to stay safe needed to be relayed in ways that were relevant to different communities. Because if you have a language barrier and we're just putting out information in English, then you've got a whole group that, you know, may not be able to understand it and therefore can't access the support that is there for them. So the Ministry of Ethnic Communities then worked with the Ministry of Health. And that was a conversation that ministers had and that chief executives had to ensure that health ring-fenced funding that NMEC, the Ministry of Ethnic Communities, worked with them on this to ensure that that messaging or that information could be relayed or translated into different languages, but also that communities were supported to share information in ways that were relevant to them. Because even between ethnic communities, there would be differences in what was relevant, whether it's the type of social media platform or some communities that receive messages better through videos rather than written form. So we supported communities to be able to do that. We also ring-fenced through health funding that went to community groups to organize vaccination events, vaccination initiatives in ways that were culturally appropriate and relevant as well. So I see that as the power of having a ministry who is the chief advisor to the government on ethnic diversity and inclusion, so that, you know, they have the connections with our communities, and we're able to then find out what the specific needs or aspirations are for different communities and then work through other government agencies and departments to be able to meet those needs. So that's an example of my role. Yes. Finger on the pulse, figuring out what's important. That's what the ministry does as well. And then they operationalize the support that is provided to communities.
Yes, we also at Access Radio, we were promoting the different ways of approaching the different communities regarding vaccination, for example, or any questions that they had regarding hygiene, etc., and how to wear a mask. So, yes, we did take that on board, and it was helpful to have that information.
Awesome.
And this ministry is targeting ethnic communities. So I understand you had the Office of Ethnic Communities, but I was wondering, wouldn't Minister for Diversity and Inclusion be enough and possibly even more inclusive rather than specifically mentioning ethnic communities while not mentioning religious affiliations and beliefs or genders or disabilities?
Yeah. So on disabilities, that is my newest portfolio. I'm also the Minister for Disability Issues at the moment. And we have a new ministry, Faikaha, the Ministry of Disabled People, that was established last year. So they have a focus on the specific needs of our disabled people and disability communities as well. And that in itself is a massive task. I mean, they work, you know, through Faikaha now. There are support services that are offered or provided to about 43,000 people. And so they manage those contracts and so on and so forth. So, you know, quite a different population group that has very different needs, if you were to compare perhaps with ethnic communities. Of course, there are overlaps as well. We have, you know, people from our ethnic communities who have disabilities as well. So there'll be overlaps, and there's always synergies and opportunities for different ministries to work together. But if you just had one ministry that looked at diversity as a whole for the nation, then I feel that you wouldn't have the targeted response that we currently have and that we're trying to strengthen, really. Mm-hmm. So the Genesis was a focus on ethnic communities, but it was in office. And when I took on this role, my mandate changed from just being the Minister for Ethnic Communities, which is what we've had in the past, to I wanted to broaden it because I really felt that our communities were at a place where we wanted to not just focus on the community itself, but to value the diversity that exists amongst ethnic communities and really lead some change from a systemic point of view to make Aotearoa New Zealand a more inclusive society for ethnic communities. Now, different population groups are doing that. So the Ministry for Pacific People will engage with our Pacific communities and identify what the needs and aspirations are there from those communities and respond to that, the same way that the Ministry of Disabled People does that as well now. So I feel that kind of collaborating all of that and combining that into one would do our communities a disservice. Faith communities, sorry, because that's one that does come up a fair bit. And it's one that was considered when the Ministry for Ethnic Communities was established, because there is quite a bit of an overlap between, there is significant overlap between ethnic communities and faith communities. So if you look at our Muslim communities or Jewish communities, or even some of our Catholic communities, that there is an overlap between them and ethnicity. And so in as much as the overlap exists, the ministry engages with those communities and will also factor in their voice and their needs into it. But we don't have an overarching ministry for all religions. So the Pacific Ministry for Pacific People also does that in terms of the overlap between ethnicity and faith therein. So there is recognition of it, but there isn't an overarching sort of ministry.
For example, in my little parish, we have maybe 150 families, but we have 30 different ethnicities. So there are a lot of ethnicities in most religious traditions, and there are a lot of religious traditions in one ethnicity. So it's, I'm just wondering, ethnicity, maybe it should be changed just to diversity and inclusion, and that would encompass all of it. Maybe you can bring that up one day.
I think it would be too broad, so I probably wouldn't, but we'll see how we go.
Yeah. Also, last year in November 2022, you spoke at the Religious Leaders Forum organized by the Religious Diversity Center. Mm-hmm. And in your speech, I wrote down four priorities that you mentioned, and that was valuing diversity, addressing economic barriers, government services, and the importance of connecting, including with Tangata Whenua. Can you tell us more about these four priorities?
Yeah, sure. So with the ministry was in the process of being established, one of the things that I was determined that we would do collectively was to go out to the communities that the ministry serves, that I serve, and to get from them what was most important to them. And so there was a fair bit of work done in that engagement phase, and we had, you know, a lot of feedback from ethnic communities. And that's where these four priorities have come from. People told us that they wanted us to champion what valuing diversity and being more inclusive looks like. So that's where the first priority comes from. The second one was about ensuring that government services are able to be responsive to the unique needs of ethnic communities. And so that's where the work that MEC is currently doing with, for example, health, and to an extent with education as well. Those are some of the areas that came out really strongly. So you could argue that MEC could work with virtually every government agency across every portfolio, because we are, as you mentioned, even just in your parish, there's a fair bit of ethnic diversity. As our country grows in diversity, you'll find that everywhere. So virtually every issue. But I wanted to make sure that we approached this in a way that was targeted, because I felt that the worst thing a new ministry could do is to try and do everything and then not achieve anything, you know? So we're looking at what government services are most important, would make, or where change would make the most impact for ethnic communities, and focus there. There's also work on the economic barriers, as you've mentioned, and employment was one that came through very strongly. We now have an employment action plan that lays out the different steps that need to be taken across different sectors to effect change. So we're working our way through that as well. Part of, if I were to go back to the first priority around valuing diversity and being more inclusive, there is work. So if you break that down a little bit, again, it's very broad. So if you break it down, there's work underway, for example, to make public sector boards more diverse. So our government was the first to measure ethnicity data on public sector boards. There are about, you know, 800 different boards and vacancies and so on. And when we first measured it, it was something like about just over 3% of the board positions were occupied by people who identified with ethnic communities. And that's very low. These are boards that set the direction for the work that public service agencies do. So incredibly important that they're able to reflect our society. And so there's one
quick question. What means ethnic identity?
Ethnic communities, basically.
Is that every community?
No. So if you look at the mandated groups under the definition of ethnic communities that the government uses and the Ministry for Ethnic Communities uses, that would be Asian, African, Middle Eastern, Latin American, and Continental European. So those are the groups that come under the definition of the banner of the Ministry for Ethnic Communities. That was actually set back in the time when the Office of Ethnic Communities started, and we've transferred the definition over. And the thinking there is that these groups, you know, or many from these groups face barriers that are different or face them disproportionately to other communities. And so what do we do from an equity point of view to support their participation in society? So that's where it comes from. So work like around visibility and leadership, whether it's at the public sector board level or other levels, there's work underway by the ministry in those spaces as well. The fourth priority, as you've mentioned, is around connection. So that's connecting ethnic communities one to the other. And it's also strengthening that connection between ethnic communities and tangata whenua. So those were two key areas that were raised during the engagement process and came through very strongly. So the ministry supports that in various different ways. There's also the Ethnic Communities Development Fund that the ministry disperses. Our government increased that eightfold. It was about 520,000 when we took office in 2017. It's now 4.2 million a year. So a significant difference. And that is money that goes entirely to our community organizations as well, and supports the work that they do quite directly. So those are the priorities, and those are some of the actions and activities and initiatives that the ministry leads. There is also quite a more fulsome strategy and plan that is on the ministry's website as well.
Seems like you've been doing a lot of work. And I think that the diversity has also increased manifold in the last few years, which has to be mentioned here. And at the same meeting that I was mentioning earlier, we talked about non-confessional religious studies in New Zealand. These religious studies in all schools would give students the knowledge they need to understand and respect one another across religious boundaries. Are you working together with the Minister of Education to achieve this goal, to more acceptance and respect for people who practice their traditions, their religious traditions?
Yeah, look, I know that this is on, has been on the radar of the Minister of Education for some time now, and I know that there is recognition that it is beneficial. The limitations within the education sector or the system that we have in New Zealand is that there's not a lot that can be dictated from a central government point of view when it comes to the core curriculum. But there are resources and supports that can be provided to schools who then make the decisions around things like religious studies. And I understand that's where things are at now. But there are also examples of steps that have been taken in the education sector more broadly towards supporting schools to be able to respond better to ethnic diversity and the diversity of, you know, different faith communities as well. I know, you know, just, and I'm particularly conscious of this, given that we're recording this today, and it's March 15th, you know, after the mosque attacks 4 years ago, there was work that the Ministry of Education undertook with individuals from our Muslim communities to support resources that then gave schools a better understanding of that particular religion and customs and traditions and things like that. So there are different pieces of work that are underway to support this idea that religious education is beneficial. So not obviously any one particular religion, but learning about different religions as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just talked to a Sikh lady the other day, and she told me how her son was bullied because of wearing the Sikh way of covering his hair. Yeah. And I think it's really important that there is knowledge around it. And she said that once the children knew what the reason was, they were happy with it, and the bully became one of his friends.
Yeah, so there's so much to be said about the value of breaking down barriers and understanding one another. Quite recently, the Education Review Office undertook some work. So we have all heard these stories, right, for quite some time now. This is not new. The experience of children who are visibly different because of the faith community that they come from. Often schools are not equipped to be able to deal with the bullying that some of them experience. So we've heard this anecdotally for a while. It's been raised with us in the ministry, with me and the ministry in the past as well. And so now recently, I think it's really just in this week, that we have some work from Eero looking at how diversity has changed over time in New Zealand, what that means for learners and schools, and what needs to be done to be able to respond to that more appropriately. So they've got about 10 different key findings, got a few recommendations that they've come out with. And I think that is, I really welcome that, because we've known within our communities for a long time that this exists, but we haven't actually had the concerted evidence behind it. Now we do. So now it'll be what we do with that and steps that are taken to address it.
Thank you so much, Priyanka. That was really interesting. I've learned a lot what you're doing, and I see that you're really busy. So juggling all these different portfolios, and I hope that you have some good assistants in the background who will help you with all your work.
Very fortunate to have that.
Thank you. And just a quick note to our listeners, on special request, we are going to repeat the two sessions on Genesis. The first session is with Brother Kieran Fenn on In the Beginning, the Creation Stories. That's Monday, the 20th of March, 7 to 8:30 p.m. on Zoom. And the second session is The Creation of Adam from Whenua with an Interfaith Approach with Dr. Christopher Longhurst. That's on Saturday, the 1st of April, 9 to 10:30 a.m. in the morning, both on Zoom. And for more information and any current and past programs, please check out www.studyjoy.nz. Kia kaha, keep safe, and thank you so much, Priyanka, for coming and joining this radio program.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and it's lovely to see you again, Beati. Take care.
Thank you.
that old piece is calling in the bonds of love we meet for the world a new day dawns. Of love we meet for the